it's powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Father God, for the privilege and the opportunity and the honor and privilege it is to receive your word. And we receive it not as a word from a man, but the word of God as it is in truth. And we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise, all of the adoration, and all of the credit. Thank you for confirming your word with signs and wonders following. And we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will destroy and break every yoke of bondage. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, we're going to talk about from faith to faith. And I want to thank everyone for sending birthday congratulations and notifications yesterday. Just in case you don't know, I'm 56 today. Amen. 56 yesterday, turned 56 yesterday. Amen. I said, I think like 36 and I feel like 36. Amen. God is taking care of my health, and God is taking care of my mind, and God is taking care of my spirit. Praise God. And so to God be all the glory for what he's done. So I'm still running the race and endeavoring to finish my course. Praise God. And all honor and praise belong to him. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being so kind and generous to wish me happy birthday. I appreciate it so very much. And thank you for being here today. All right, Romans chapter 1. Romans, the first chapter. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 in the New King James. This is, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Now, I'm a pastor and teacher by giftedness, and I love this verse. I love that phrase. Why? Because it's always good to see people in the church and people around you in church and connected to you through the church go from faith to faith. Everybody say from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It tells us this is how we live. We're not supposed to be living by our feelings. We're not supposed to be living by our frustrations. We're not supposed to be living by our by fear. Some people live out of fear. We're to be living by faith. Everybody say, I'm supposed to be living by faith. Now, the voice translation says it this way, for I'm not I am not the least bit embarrassed about the gospel. Now, you have to ask yourself the question, am I at least embarrassed about the gospel? Because Barner says people don't share their faith, but 1.3, Christians don't share their faith, but 1.3 times a year. That means they barely mention it, that I'm a Christian. They barely mention Jesus to the world around them. But he said, Paul says, I am not the least bit embarrassed about the gospel. I won't shy away from it because it is God's power to save every person who believes. First the Jew and then the non-Jew. You see, the good news, God's restorative justice is revealed. And as we will see, it begins and ends in faith. As the scripture declares, by faith the just will obtain life. The Passion Translation says it this way, I refuse to be ashamed of the wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. I like that. For I am thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved, the Jew first and then people everywhere. This gospel unveils a continual revelation of God's righteousness, a perfect righteousness given to us when we believe. And it moves us from receiving life through faith. It moves us from receiving life through faith to power, the power of living by faith. We know that we're saved by faith. Through faith, because we're saved by grace through faith, but it's through our faith that we receive the grace of salvation. So we receive life, but then the power to live by faith. This is what the scripture means when it says we are right with God through life-giving faith. So, friends, saints of God, we are to go and grow from faith to faith. Everybody say, I am to go and grow from faith to faith. In other words, we're to start with faith and continue to live by faith and grow to new levels of faith over our lifetime. Now, the question is, what level are you on? Kindergarten level? That means you can barely say your ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. Can't talk very good. Elementary school level, high school diploma level, bachelor's degree level, master's degree level. Where is your faith? Where is your faith level? You are to go from faith to faith. So I like one translation that says one degree of faith to another degree of faith. So what degree do you have in the area and the arena of faith? Faith in God. Amen. How many know there's more levels than where you and I are at right now? There's more levels. There's higher levels. There's higher degrees of faith to attain by God's grace and help. Amen. So we think about that, and we ask ourselves, how well and effective do we overcome problems and pressures that you face in the world today? How well and how effective do you overcome? Because we overcome by faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Whether your faith is wherever your faith is, there is more and a higher level to go. Whatever you've obtained and overcome this far by faith, there's a greater degree of faith to grow to. Some people say, well, I did it. I got faith. I got a new car. Well, how about buying somebody else a new car? How about getting to, you can pay somebody else's car payment? I got a new apartment. Oh, I got a new house. Well, how about paying somebody else's house mortgage payment? Or like some people in the body of Christ today, paying off people's houses. Y'all thinking now, that's good, that's good. I can hear you thinking. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So there's a greater degree of faith to live and give by. Living by faith is a lifestyle based upon a relationship between God and His Word. In other words, the Word of God is to govern our lives in three areas: what we think, what we say, and what we do. So what degree of faith am I at? Is the Word of God, is the degree the Word of God is allowed to govern and your life in how what you think, what you say, and what you do. Most of the times you can locate people's faith degree by what they say, because saying determines what they've been thinking, because thoughts precede action. And what they do is a byproduct and a consequence of what they said and what they've thought. So the Word of God must be governing our lives in what we think. So when problems or pressure hits your life, do you say, what does the Word say? Or do you say what you're worrying about? 1 John 5:4 says this in the New Living Translation. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. So we've said it many times before, our faith level determines our victory level. Just because you received victories last month, April, or maybe last year, 2020, there are new victories to achieve and attain by the grace and help of God and by the goodness of God. There's new victories this year. There's new victories this month. Your faith level determines your victory level. Amen. Glory to God. Because he said every child of God defeats this evil world. So that means you got the capacity, you got the capability, you've got the potential with your faith and trust in God to defeat everything that the world, the devil, demons throw at you. Physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, relationally, socially. Come on now. Physically, anything the devil throws at you, how are you going to defeat it? How are you going to overcome it? By faith. See, if your faith level's down here, you won't have victory level up here. Your faith level determines your victory level. Everybody say from faith to faith. So, in other words, our faith and confident trust in God and his word to his glory should be there. Romans 4, verse 16. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Amplified Classic says, therefore, the inheriting of the promise is an outcome of faith. How are you going to receive that promise? Because we said it before, every promise of God, there's over 3,000 of them in the Bible, plus, that belong to you and me. God has already predetermined an answer for all of them. He said yes and amen. In other words, yes. The answer is yes, so be it, you can have it. But how do we get it? How do we inherit it? How do we receive that promise? He said inheriting the promise is an outcome of faith and depends entirely on what? Some people say, it depends entirely on my family. No. The word of God doesn't say it depends entirely. It doesn't depend entirely on your fears. It doesn't depend on other folks. It depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, a merit of favor, to make it stable and valid and a guarantee to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but those who have shared the faith of Abraham, who thus is the father of us all. So we said it this way, simply said, grace makes, faith takes. Faith takes what grace has made available. What has grace made available? Grace represents all that God has given, provided, and promised. Grace is everything God has given, provided, and promised. Somebody say glory to God. So in other words, he provided salvation. He provided healing. By his stripes you were healed. Come on. He's provided and promised exceeding great and precious promises. But how do you take what grace has made? Faith takes what grace has given. Faith is the greatest activator of our covenant through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by faith we receive and take delivery of the promises of God and the provisions of God that have been given to us, his children. Now, some people say, well, I don't have a job. I can't do this. I don't have this. Well, see, all that stuff is not in the Bible. So they're not in faith. They're in fear, doubt, and unbelief. When they say, I can't do this. I can't handle this. I can't have this. When the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Come on now. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So can you have prosperity? Yes, by faith. Some people say, by my finances? Because my finances are fixed. I'm on a fixed income. Well, who fixed it? Your faith will take what grace has made available. Grace has provided prosperity. Somebody say glory to God. And you can take it whether you make $1 an hour or $100,000 an hour. Come on now. Faith is like money or currency in the kingdom of God. If you take out a bill, $1 bill, $5 bill, $20 bill, $100 bill. It says on the bottom, this is legal tender for all debts, public and private. So faith is legal tender of all of our debts, all our difficult needs, and all of our heart desires. How are you going to get those debts by the hand of God taken care of? How are you going to get those difficult situations and needs met by the grace and help of God and help have him come involved in your life? How are you going to get the desires of your heart met and fulfilled? By faith. So what do you need to inherit these promises? Everybody say faith. You need faith. Somebody says, I need money. No, you need faith more. Really, all you need is God. It's because when you have faith in God, that means you introduce your problem to God. You say, problem, here's God. God will take care of it. Thank you for taking care of it. Hallelujah. So then these three verses, friends, remind us that how well we are living by faith. How well am I living by faith? How well am I overcoming obstacles, opposition, and oppression by faith? Because the devil comes at all of us. Because he's a persistent cuss. He is persistent at putting pressure on your circumstances or putting persecution or problems that come out of other people's mouth into your brain. You living on this earth, you breathing air, then that means the devil's going to be attacking you with a spirit of fear. But God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? In other words, the devil's always going to be putting pressure on you on what you believe. That's what fear is, pressure. It's pressure on your belief system. Look at all this stuff happening. Look at how you're hurting. Look at what's going on. Look at people dying. All to do what? Keep you in fear and out of faith, because he knows faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Y'all real quiet today. How well are you receiving from God in his word by faith? If I'm stuck, if I'm stagnant, if my faith is stinky or my faith is small, I'm not going to be receiving very well. Faith is acting like the Bible is true. Amen. So it's like Lillian B. Oman says one time, if faith, God delights in his children, you and me, stepping out over the aching void with nothing under our feet but the word of God. So in other words, you say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Or you say, like they said in Numbers 23, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. God, if he said it, come on now, y'all know the verse, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll make it good. So you say, if God said it, close the book, it's done. It's already done. Praise God. The battle's already been won. The victory's already been won because he said it, he'll do it, he spoke it, he'll make it good in my life. His word will prevail. His word will never fail. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to what? Please God. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, we as Christians displease the Lord. He said, for he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, some people might think twistedly and think that God's a robber. They think God's a robber. He's stolen all those 500,000 people that have died of COVID-19. God robbed those people of their lives. God did it. No, God didn't do it. He's a rewarder. He's not a robber. The devil is a thief. He's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Remember, God is pleased when we're receiving what he has given. If he's given us divine supernatural protection, do you believe it? When you believe it, you'll receive it. When you speak, as we've been putting out emails, Psalms 91, and you're keeping your hedge up, that's an act of faith every day. You're keeping the hedge of protection around you. You're saying, I trust God more than I trust what I see or feel. Come on. I'm going to keep the hedge of protection around me, around my house, around my finances. Come on now. Around my family, around my future. I'm going to keep the hedge up because I believe God. I trust God. I believe his divine protection is my provision for me today. So I declare, no evil shall befall me. No harms or sickness or plague shall come near my physical body. I thank God since March 15th last year, I haven't had not one symptom or trait. I've been tested probably more than anybody in this room. Blood and everything. And every test comes out better and better. I've been tested four times at least, full blood work. Through the VA. You know, I go through the VA. We have VA benefits. But so they tested. And my doctor called me last week. He said, man, your numbers are looking real good. All the little numbers, the big numbers, and everything else. Why? Well, I'm doing it by faith. Praise God. God is helping me. God is taking care of me in grand style. How does he take care of you in grand style? By faith. God is pleased when we're receiving his divine protection, his divine peace, his divine provision. Has God changed, friends? Come on, has God changed? Has he altered his plan? Then we have to trust him. That he already seen ahead what 2021 is going to be like, what 2020 was like. He already has seen ahead and he sent provision. Do you believe him? Do you trust him? Amen. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll make it good in your life. Hallelujah. But see, what displeases God is our doubt, our fear, our unbelief that God's not able to take care of me. We transfer our trust to medical science. We transfer our trust to the natural government. Now, it's nothing wrong to pray for them and to partner with them. We don't stand against them. Amen. But politicians aren't Lord. Amen. The government's not God. That's right. Amen. Medical science is even though science is God's language, but his science is holy, righteous. It's good for mankind. It's not breeding out and spitting out fear. Woo, I'm 56 now. I'm talking a little bit bolder today. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. You know, I remember a man of God said when you know, these plagues and stuff come around and people, he said, brother, it was Brother Hagin. He said, Brother Hagin, because I'm telling all of you, I'll never catch the, you know, back then it was swine flu, Asian flu, or what they call it, Asian flu, or Chinese flu, or whatever they call it. He said, I'll never catch that flu. He said, shh, 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 shh. One of the pastors went up, shh, Brother Hagin, you better not say that. Did you know the devil will hear you? And he's trying to whisper to Brother Hagin, and he spoke out loud. He said, I said it, and I meant it, and I said it for his benefit. I wanted him to hear me. I double dog dare him to put the Chinese flu or the Asian flu on me. I'll never catch it. Amen. Because either you trust God or you don't. You either believe God or you don't. You either believe, 1 Peter 2:24 says that by his stripes you were healed, or you don't. Amen. And when you believe it, you receive it. Amen. God is pleased when his children are overcoming and experiencing manifested victory. He's not pleased with you being overcome or overwhelmed. I mean, come on now. There's so many mental and emotional diseases spiked now because so many people are feeding and pumping their ears full of fear. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. But fear comes by hearing the lies of the devil. the news, the noise, the narratives of the day that telling you, look at this, you better do this, you better do that, you better do that, you better do this. And you're all prisoned and paralyzed through fear. You're not overcoming, you're being overcome. You're being overwhelmed. Well, praise God. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good right now. Hallelujah. God is pleased when we are living a lifestyle and a righteous relationship with him. And fear, in fearless confidence, in total trust in him, and in complete reliance and dependent on his faithfulness and his word. So let's talk about your walk of faith, going from faith to faith in your lifestyle. So we're going to test ourselves. Because the Bible says when we take communion, we should what? Examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6, New Living Translation. It says, examine yourself. How many times you've done a self-examination? Examine yourself and see if your faith is genuine. That means it's legit or illegitimate. That means it's life-giving and constructive, or it's death and destructive. Because see, faith in reverse is fear. You believe that the fear is going to come to you. The negative thing is going to be manifest in and through you. So you always got this negative air about you. You're not optimistic, you're pessimistic. You're skeptical, cynical, critical. We're taking communion today, amen? And so you need to repent of if you're those ways, because that means I'm a doubt peddler. Like a dope dealer, you're dealing doubt, fear, unbelief. You said, test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. Jesus and his word are one. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus was a living word. We're speaking to you from the written word, his thoughts. His thoughts and his words are synonymous with who he is, his character, his nature. He said, as you test yourself, I hope you will recognize that you have not failed the test of apostolic authority. Now, here's the testing parameters. I'll run through them real quick. They're basically the acronym FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, F. Means you focus continually on God's promise. Now, some of us need to get our face out of that book. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, Facebook. So you be on there, but don't spend all your time in there. Because if you're in faith, you're focusing on the promises of God. His promises are his enabling and empowering grace working in your heart to form belief. You can't be looking at TV or social media all the time and expect to stay in faith. You got to focus on the promises of God. In other words, let me say it this way. Focus equals clear vision. That means you see it in the word, and then you see it by faith in your life. If you don't see it in the word and you don't see it by faith in your life, you're not focusing clearly. A is ask God for what you need. Ask God for the things you want and need, and then believe that you have them. In other words, when you pray, you believe that you receive what you ask for. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. For surely I say unto you, that whosoever shall says to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you have, you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And that means you believe you got it before you get it in the natural. Because you've released your faith that is legal tender for all debts, public and private, in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of the supernatural. In other words, I've exchanged faith, so I've got it. I laid a claim ticket on it, so I believe that I received it right then. It's going to manifest in the natural. Amen. So when you pray, believe that you receive what you've been praying for, and you shall have it. The problem is when people pray, they hope and wish still that they'll get it. For example, healing. I'm praying to be healed. No, you're not trying to get healed. You're just receiving your healing. You believe that Jesus has already healed you 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Praise God. By his stripes, you were healed. And then right now, I'm believing that I receive the healing that's already been provided for me by his grace. And I take delivery of it by faith. That means I believe I got it before I get it. If I'm having mental issues, if I'm having headaches all the time, having issues sleeping, if I'm having issues with pain in my body, come on now, you got to believe that Jesus has already provided for that, and I believe it, and then therefore I receive it. I don't come to get healed. I come to receive my healing. Praise the Lord. Somebody say glory to God. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now look at that. That verse is not present tense or past tense or future tense. That is past tense. That verse is past. He has blessed us. He's blessed who has blessed us. That means he's already blessed us. With what? Every spiritual blessing. And I like how Kenneth E. Hagin said it before. I believe it is true. I believe it's so righteous and real. All divine healing is spiritual. And some people try to say, I'm trying to get my feelings back or my feeling better. No, you're not believing that you receive healing, because healing starts the restoration of health. Healing starts recovery of to be well. A recovery from sickness and disease. Because the Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what? Recover. Some people come to get manifested feelings and to get manifested feel better. That's not faith, that's misguided faith. When he said, by his stripes you are healed, all healing is spiritual. So I receive first healing in my spirit, and then it affects a healing and brings a cure to what's ailing and afflicting my body. So I start recovering that moment. I believe I receive. Somebody say glory to God. Woo! It's good enough to comb your hair to come to church this morning. Praise God. See, this scripture says that everything we need has been provided for us. You weren't born and God said, oops, I made a mistake and allowed him to be born in this era. No, he knew that what he put inside of you in Christ was more than enough for any enemy, any foe, any situation, any circumstance that would come against you. Because your faith is a measure of the God kind of faith. The measure of miracle working faith. The measure of mountain moving faith. It's where? It's right on the inside of you. But you got to test it to see if it's genuine. See if it's working. Am I focused on God's promises? Have I asked him for what I need or want? If you don't ask, you don't get it. We need people in this room, in this church, and people online to believe and receive that there is more. There is more than just paying my bills and paying my bills on time. There is more than just getting around a little hoopty car and with barbed wire and stringing it together. Come on now. There's more than where we're currently giving at. But it takes faith to get more, to give more. Some people don't want to be uncomfortable, so they never want to stretch their faith, because every time they use their faith gets challenged. And we've said it before, there's no such thing as unchallenged faith. The devil will never harass you or hinder you about last time. He's going to try to make you forget the last victory, forget the last blessing, forget the last triumph, forget the last good thing that happened to you. Forget about it. But this time you're not going to get your healing. This time you're not going to get your breakthrough. This time you're not going to get your needs met. And then we cower back and we don't ask. and we go to I, which is imagine God's promises coming to pass in your life. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, rest in hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, the loins represents your creative capacity. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and what? A sound mind. That means you have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5, and you hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart. In other words, that means you can think like Jesus. You can have saved brains, sanctified brains. Come on now. A thinking capacity that thinks on high and not thinks low. Come on now. A brain that can think higher, bigger, better, broader than what you've been doing. Don't limit God by your limited thinking. What do you imagine? The principles in Genesis chapter 11 were the tower people of Tower of Babel were imagining themselves building a tower. It's called Tower of Babel into heaven, and the Godhead, God the Father back then, it was the Word and the Holy Spirit. The Word hadn't become flesh yet at that time, but they said there's nothing that can be withheld from what they've imagined to do. What can you imagine? Some of us never imagined ever even giving more than we have. Some of us never imagined walking up to somebody and paying off their grocery bill in the grocery store line. Some of us need to imagine paying off somebody's car payment or paying somebody's house payment. How much is your mortgage this month? They look at you, blink, blink, blink. Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you talking about? Oh, I want to pay your mortgage this month. And you smile and say, why? Why? Why you want to do that? God loves you and Jesus does. You got to imagine. You got to see yourself healed. See yourself with full mobility of your limbs. See yourself with a sound brain. See yourself being able to sleep for 8 hours a night. You got to see yourself well. You got to slap down and cast down those negative imaginations. The big question is, because we're affected by observations, assimilations, and teaching, are you observing, associating, and teaching around people that contribute to your faith or to your unbelief and doubts and fears? Are you hanging around people that pull you down and keep you stuck? Like we've said before, the big question in this step of imagination is, are you meditating or are you medicating? Are you meditating or are you medicating? Too often Christians medicate on pain medicine and escapism activities. That's why they spend so much time on social media, because you're looking at somebody else's highlights because you feel, I have no highlights in my own life. I get stuck and lost in a video game or a game because I want to escape real reality of life. You know, I preach better when y'all say amen and preach it, Pastor. Glory to God. Give me some feedback. Praise God. Amen. See, binge watching TV, movies, that's medicating sometimes. Not all the times. I'm not saying it's all bad. But sometimes it can be, you can just get stuck where you spend hours and hours in front of a TV. And what is a TV? Basic theory is a television. It's telling you how to vision. It's telling you how to view life. But you need to spend time with God, getting his holy imagination, and then cast down evil imagination. Excuse me. Evil is anything or anyone that's taking you away from your God-intended purpose. Evil is anything or anyone that's taking you away from your God-intended purpose or plan. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That means twice a day. You should be thinking about God's word. You should be imagining God's word. You should be rehearsing mentally God's word. You should be thinking up creative ideas about God's word. If you're not, you're not getting up right and going to bed right. Because he said this book of the law should not depart out of your what? Your mouth. That means your mouth is your greatest indicator on what you're thinking about. And see, when the Bible's in your mouth, it's mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And many people need that today. He said that you may observe to do the all that's written in it, therein, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Meditation leads to revelation, which leads to results. T is thank God continually for the promises of God that are working in your life. So either you're thankful or unthankful. In everything we give thanks, right? That's the will of God in you. So faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. H is hold fast to your confession of God's word. And that means keep a grip on your lip and don't let it slip. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that you have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. That's an idea. Dr. Rick Renner says it's an idea of like a bulldog clamping down on a bone or a rope. They don't let go. Their eyes will glaze over, their jaws will lock, and they will not let that rope or that. I mean, we've done that with our dog, our pit bull, when he was younger. Of course, he's a little older now, but we pick him up off the ground. He'd still be holding on to that rope. He'll be still holding on to that bone. He won't let it go. He'll just lock in, ears will flat back, his eyes will glaze over the back. I mean, he's like in a highly focused grip mode. That's where you need to do your confession. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And let me close with these thoughts, because our words is the biggest part of our faith, that where people mess up. You know, Dad Hagin said about Mark 11:23, he said, you have to emphasize the speaking part of faith three times, but the believing part is once. Because a lot of times when you get saved, you're already a believer. Who ever heard of a believer that couldn't believe? That's just like a human being that doesn't breathe. It's natural for a believer to believe. But you're going to have more problems with the speaking part than you do the believing part. And so in our faith company, we call this the gang sign. The gang sign of faith, 3-1. That means I need to be three times more focused on what I'm saying than what I'm believing. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. So our faith must continue to grow and develop. Like we said, from faith to faith. One degree of faith to another degree of faith. Where's your faith at? If we went around and took a survey, would everybody know where their faith is at? What happens when your faith grows and develops? Three things occur. Number one, Satan's dominion over us wanes. Now, all this fear and all this frenetic energy about negative energy about what the devil's doing, what evil people are doing, what disingenuous people and politicians are doing, that stuff won't even bother you. Some people are getting all huffy and puffy and furious and fretful. But when Satan dominions on the ring, you put Satan in his place. You understand that I have authority in the name of Jesus. Come on now. I got command and control through the power of the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Satan's dominion over you wanes when you have more faith. We're going to do a virtual study group. I want all of you to come, but we're going to be doing it over Zoom. In a few weeks, starting Tuesday, May the 18th, it's called Heaven or Hell. We're going to answer questions because some people are so afraid of the eternal destination. Some people, what about all these people that died recently and are dying today? Where are they going? Now, there's some cultural belief that everybody is a child of God. Everybody's going to heaven. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. But as a Christian, you don't need to be afraid. Praise God, because Satan's dominion over you wanes. Then, secondly, circumstances become less formidable or formidable, and fear is destroyed. There's thousands of fears or phobias, as it's called. There's even called a phobia. People afraid of fear of fear. Arachnophobia, afraid of spiders, crawling things. There's even a fancy one called peanut butter phobia. People afraid of peanut butter. People afraid of heights. People always, but fear has to be destroyed. Unless you destroy fear, you'll never overcome it. Some people are afraid to give $1 above their tithes. You got to destroy that fear. That limiting, paralytic, insidious spirit of fear. You got to destroy it. Hallelujah. Some people afraid to go to the doctor. Some people afraid to give blood. Some people afraid to take tests because they're afraid of what's going to happen. Get rid of the fear. Fear of flying. Fear of dying. None of that should be existing. We should be destroying all that stuff. Somebody said, praise the Lord. See, faith grows by feeding it and exercising. So what are you eating? Now, you can look around and tell most of us have eaten pretty good, including yours truly. But how well are you feeding your faith? You would go to no lengths and all extremes to feed yourself 3 hot meals a day, but don't feed your faith 1 cold snack a week. Your faith will not grow if you don't feed it. And your faith will not grow and develop if you don't exercise it. It's like we said, never take a faith vacation. You can take a family vacation, but never take a faith vacation. That means every day you should be using your faith, releasing your faith muscles, believing and trusting God for something or for somebody. When you don't use your faith, you lose your muscles of faith. Because faith works the same in every arena, every spirit, every realm. So when you need faith for a big miracle, you've been believing God and trusting God for daily things, so you just kick it up to a higher level. Somebody say glory to God. Everybody say from faith to faith. Now here's some things that we think about. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So one of the primary ways we exercise our faith is with our words. What are you saying every day? Now here's some degrees here. Because the door to the supernatural swings on 2 hinges. What you believe in your heart and what you speak out of your mouth. Is this plain enough for y'all? We have the same spirit of faith. Believing and speaking. All right? 1 degree is to say of the Lord. Psalms 91:1-2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. Now what are you saying about the Lord? About your Father God, about your Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things I always say, I thank you, Father God, that you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. I thank you that you take care of me in Grandstown. I thank you that no one's wiser, no one's bigger, no one's better than you. There's nobody besides you, Lord. You're the Most High God. You're the all-sufficient God. You're the God who is more than enough for me. You are too faithful to fail, dear Father. I thank you that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I say of the Lord, it tells you in the Psalms what to say. He is my refuge. You are my refuge. You are my fortress. My God, in whom will I trust? Him will I trust. I trust in you, Lord. Somebody say, what are you saying about the Lord? What are you saying about Jesus? Every day you should be saying with your faith, Jesus is Lord. You show up at the work office or you go to work at home, wherever. You say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is absolute mastery over death in all its phases, hell and all its hosts. Come on now. Sin and all its consequences, and Satan and all his works. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's the Alpha and Omega. Come on now. You got to say of the Lord. What are you saying about the Lord? That's 1 degree. See, this repels the spirit of fear and enables the Lord to initiate his deliverance in your life. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I trust. In other words, nowhere I go that he's not there with me. He's not there for me. Wherever I find myself at, he's already there, and he's my refuge and my fortress. 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near. I can walk through the mall with a whole bunch of people that have positive tests on COVID, and I will not fear no evil, for no evil shall befall me, no harm or plague or sickness shall come near my physical body. Am I saying this about Jesus? Am I saying this about the Lord? Because when you have what you say. Then when Mark 11, he doesn't say, don't say what you have what you say. That's one degree. People got to start talking about Jesus. Some people are too afraid to say something about themselves. But then another degree is to say continually. Psalms 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad whose favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually. Let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in my prosperity, the prosperity of his servant. Let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in my prosperity. Thank you, Father, that you're taking care of me in exile. Thank you that the blessing of the Lord makes me rich and adds no painful toil or sweat with it. Thank you that all my needs are met with heaven's best. I believe every need is met with heaven's best. I believe because I'm given, and a given back to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men given and women, teenagers, even children given to my bosom. Thank you, Father. You maintain your confession, and you don't let it go. I always say every day, the Lord is my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, I shall not lack. I do not lack for ability. I do not lack for opportunity. I never lack for money. Now, it doesn't matter what I feel like, what it looked like, if I got goosebumps on my arms or not, if I feel excited or not. Come on, I say the Lord is my shepherd. I say Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is, he is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He is the strength of my life. I don't wake up tired and sluggish. I don't need coffee and caffeine to jack me up or to mess me up. Come on now. I just need Jesus to lift me up with his resurrection power. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me, and it quickens my mortal body. Praise God. Hallelujah. You hold fast to that confession without wavering. See, feelings follow faith. Some people want feelings before the precede faith. But feelings follow faith. What are you saying? This is a higher degree. What to say to these things? This is one the Lord introduced me to last year and re-stirred my heart about saying this year again. Say to these things. He told me I wasn't. He said, you're not speaking to things enough. Mark 11:23 tells us, say to the mountain. And we're sitting and living in a mountain range, and you got mountains all over you, around you, mountains crawling up in your backyard. What are you saying to those things? He said, say to these things. Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all? How shall he not also with him also freely give us all things? In other words, he said, this is your power of daily rebuke of circumstances. Evil and negative circumstances that come against you. You got to say something to these things. And he said, this is what you say. If God be for me, this sickness cannot be against me. Amen. If God be for me, this financial dilemma cannot be against me. Because if he gave me Jesus, he'll freely give me anything and everything I need. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is our proper response, a faith response, and a faith reply to the destructive things that happen to us. Exercising our faith against evil circumstances through the power of daily rebuke. And here's one. Boldly say. Say of the Lord, say continually, say to these things, boldly say. Hebrews 13:5-6. Let us conduct ourselves without covetousness. Be content with such things you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say. I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? See, when you're hurting, when you feel helpless, when you feel hopeless, discontented, boldly say publicly against contradictory and sensory circumstances that this is the power level of faith. I boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Not Lord, please help me. No, the Lord is my helper. Faith is now. I say, Lord, in the midst of drowning, amidst of going down, saying one, two, three, my head bobbing underwater, I say, the Lord is my helper. Come on. Now, somebody say, what do I need to fear that man can do to me? Hallelujah. Now, here's the rub. Many in this room and many online, your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth to say any of this stuff. I'm just putting it right where you, square between the eyes. I got to close. I'm over time already. But our mouth, our words, our voice is our address in our spirit. If we want the delivery truck from heaven to deliver us, to bring to us deliverance, to bring to us healing, to bring manifested victory, to bring manifest, your voice is your address in the spirit. See, Paul and Silas were at midnight found in that Philippian jail inside the inner prison. They were in the hole, beaten and stripped and bleeding in their backs. They didn't just sit there. Satan should have duct taped their mouth, because the Bible says they prayed and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Come on now. And the earthquake came, and suddenly the deliverance came, and everyone's bands were loose. Come on now. Your voice is your victory. Your voice is your address in the realm of the spirit. There's no other voice like your voice. And we can't be too cute and religious to never open our mouth. Because if it's not strong enough to open your mouth, your faith will never be strong enough to move your mountain. That Syrophoenician woman in Mark chapter 7, Jesus said, for this saying, because she honored Jesus. She changed her approach. She first came begging to Jesus. And Jesus said, let the children first be filled and don't take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. So most people got offended at that point. You calling me a dog? You calling me a dog? You calling me an animal? So many people so sensitive today. Got their emotions on their sleeves. Get upset at the quickest whim. But he answered and said, see, when you're in real faith, you're focused. You're not frustrated. If you're frustrated, you're not in faith. If you're fretting, you're not in faith. If you're fear-filled, you're not in faith. And she answered and said, yes, Lord, the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said, for this saying, for her faith, he said, go thy way. The devil has gone out of thy daughter. Someone was waiting for Jesus to do something about their devils. The demons that are in their family. But the challenge today is, what are you going to do about the devils and demons in your family? You going to be like the Syrophoenician woman and lock hold with your faith and say, Lord, you know what's going on at the house here. But I'm saying that you have enough power to drive every devil and every demon out of my house in the name of Jesus. And I put my foot down in the realm of the spirit. And in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood over every child and every grandchild and every great-grandchild under my influence right now in Jesus' name. And devil, you stay out of my house. You get out of my house. And I put a bloodline in the spirit and a sign up that says, keep out, Mr. Devil. This means you. You waiting for Jesus to do it, and some of y'all might be waiting for me to do it. Don't put that on me. You got enough faith to drive the devil away out of your block. Hallelujah. Faith to faith. Think about it for a moment. David, when he testified, as we close, you get your communion element ready. He's walking around. He told Saul with Goliath, because some of us got some Goliaths right now. But he told Saul, I defeated the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine has to go. He went from faith to faith. His first level was getting a lion taken care of. Then a bear taken care of. Then he got Goliath. I like the character of Benaiah, who became in charge of David's security force. He was one of the three. He said he killed, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, he was talking about he killed two Moabite heroes. He was outnumbered. Your faith will work when you have overwhelming odds against you. Then it said he chased a lion. Lions are like 400 pounds or more. Into a pit on a snowy day. Lions are like cats. He said he killed the lion. See, faith will make you opportunistic with your faith. You'll see it and you'll seize it, even though it looks like a lion. You'll look at that lion and say, I'm going to chase you down, and I'm going to hunt you down, and I'm going to take you over in Jesus' name. Come on now. Somebody say glory to God. I didn't have time to read the story, so I'm just giving you the highlights. And then it says he killed a warrior Egyptian, a champion. He took the spear out of his hand and killed him with his own spear. Faith will work for anybody. And will work on anything. So when David was looking through the list of people to make his charge of his security, he said, this guy chased a lion, killed a lion, and it was snowing outside. This guy's fearless. This guy's faithful. Put him in charge of my security team. God wants to use us for more in this season. But you got to get your faith growing. And you got to keep your faith growing. Praise God. Now hold your cup up to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Guess what we're consecrating ourselves to be people of faith. Now I'm going to make a bold statement right now by the Holy Spirit. There's enough faith in this room right here. I'm not even talking about the people online. But you add the extra. But there's enough people in this room right now to believe for the whole community that we live in, that we exist in, to get saved. To turn this whole community over to the Lord. We can be a city on a hill. Amen. We could be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And see the whole world, see your whole family. You have enough faith for your whole family to get saved. But it's got to go. Your faith has got to go. It's got to go to work every day. It's got to grow. Some of y'all been standing. Some of us have been standing on things for so long. But what's the barrier? What's the blockage? What's the stoppage? Our faith level. Everybody say from faith to faith. Everybody say, Lord, I endeavor and I commit myself and consecrate myself to your will and your word and your ways to go from faith to faith, to grow from one degree of faith to another degree of faith. Lord Jesus, I honor you this morning, this afternoon, by honoring your broken body and your shed blood. You are the author, the initiator, the developer, and the completer of my faith. I am open and receptive and willing to take on faith projects, faith programs, development of my faith. As you choose, you be Lord over my life, over my family, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now God's going to take you, the Lord's going to take you at your word. He's going to give you things to believe for. You know, one of the things about faith, the first sign of faith is discomfort. He's going to say, get off the phone, get off the TV, go pray, go believe God, go trust me for this. Amen. So that's what we're doing. Amen. Praise God. Take the blood, take the juice, and you do that same at home. And say, thank you, Father. that you're on my side, for the blood has been applied. Every need will be supplied. Nothing be denied. So I enter into rest. I know that I'm blessed. I'll pass every test. I'll receive your very best. The blood of Jesus is sanctifying me completely to the will of God every day and in every way. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you for the blood that purges me from any and all defilement of the enemy. There's nothing in me that the blood can't cleanse. There's nothing in me that the blood can't cure, change, or correct for the better in Jesus' name. I receive the power of your blood. I release faith in your blood right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Guys, you can play the song as we dismiss. If you need prayer, please, online, if you just text us the word pray, the number they put up on the screen, they'll be...